Welcome to ASME TechCast, bringing you the innovators, the innovations, and the issues that push the envelope of engineering. I'm Jeffrey Winters, Editor-in-Chief of Mechanical Engineering Magazine, and I'm here today with Paul Fakes, Director of ASME's Government Relations Education and Outreach Program. Paul has almost two decades of experience working with Congress as both a staff member in the United States Senate and as a consultant on a wide variety of science, engineering, trade, and regulatory policy issues. Paul, thank you for coming in and guiding us through the somewhat opaque goings-on in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, thanks for having me and great to be with you, Jeff.
Good to see you again. So as most people realize, it's an election year here in 2024, and that often means Washington shifts its focus to campaigns and messaging rather than building out new policy, especially in areas technical as science and engineering policy. But there are, in fact, mechanical engineers in the House and Senate representing both political parties, and maybe a non-hot button issue like engineering is the one place where the two major parties can come together and agree on things. So we've got Paul here to tell me whether this hopeful thought has any merit to it as we look ahead to this year in policy. But first, before we look at 2024, can you give me a brief recap of the engineering policy advances and setbacks, especially in 2023? There were not the sorts of large infrastructure bills passed last year the way that was in 2022 with the Inflation Reduction Act, but there was plenty of activity, right?
Yeah, that's correct. A lot of the news cycle is focused on, House leadership races, but Congress was working throughout the year. And a lot of this year was, we talked a year ago about our remarkably productive 2022 legislative season. And so that implementation of that legislation has, really dictated a lot of the activity this year. But there are a number of areas where Congress wants to make sure the administration is implementing the bills in the right way, in the way that they intended them. So we have seen a lot of that dialogue play out, and that continues right now. We are going to see some of these issues continue to drive the conversation this year. And now almost a year of congressional dealmaking actually just came to fruition in December with passage of the National Defense Authorization package. And this is a bill outlining and authorizing what the Department of Defense is going to be spending in the year ahead. It's a must-pass bill. And as part of this bill, there was a nuclear energy permitting reform package passed, the Accelerating Deployment of Versatile Advanced Nuclear for Clean Energy, or ADVANCE Act of 2023. So this is a great example of where, on a bipartisan basis, House and Senate leaders came together. There's consensus that we need more nuclear power here in the United States. It's been a critical part of our, carbon-free energy generation portfolio for many years, a critical part of addressing our climate goals. The Congress was able to come together and get this package passed just in December. Last year we predicted that permitting reform would be a key area where Congress is going to be trying to work together, trying to be doing some deal making. So we just saw that happen with nuclear, and hopefully we can see more of that happen in the year ahead.
Yeah. Now, this year, it looks to be dominated by politics, as one would imagine. It's an election year with an election, both at the presidential level as well as the entire Congress and a third of the Senate. But before all that happens, and I think that, the election will really probably start grinding up any sort of policy by the second half of the year. There's a looming budget impasse between the Republican-led House of Representatives and the democratically controlled Senate. So how is that going to impact engineering policy this year?
Yeah, so the first big thing Congress needs to get through this year is resolving this spending impasse. That dominated a lot of the negotiations in Congress last year as well. We had this overall debt limit deal negotiated, I think, last May. But there was a House Republican rebellion around that. And, here we are with two upcoming deadlines in January, actually, to where we need to fund The current fiscal year, we're in the 2024 fiscal year already, which started last October. And then Congress will need to come to an agreement on the 2025 fiscal year. So these are really high-level issues to work through. Current stopgap funding, as I noted, will run out January 19th for a number of agencies. So that's really the first deadline we're dealing with. And the debate that Congress is trying to settle right now is really about discretionary spending. How close can we get to the authorized levels of spending, given the House Republican focus on budget cutting and the deficit. From the engineering policy side of thing, the big question is how close will Congress get to fulfilling what it said it ought to do on the CHIPS and Science Act in funding those key research and development accounts. So that's the big question that Congress is working through right now, and it's going to start up again for the next fiscal year. In February, we should get a budget request from the administration. So the budget debate will be a big thing you hear about this year.
Let me pull on that thread just a little bit, because sometimes with these budget negotiations, if I remember correctly, so in part of getting to an agreement, sometimes policy can be set. I mean, I think anyone who's ever had, health care extended after they lost a job and they had COBRA. Well, COBRA is what, the Congressional Budget Reconciliation Act or something. I mean, so sometimes these negotiations go beyond just like setting a number. Is there a possibility that, in January, as they come to an agreement on these budget numbers, some policy will be set via that? I mean, is that on anybody's radar screen?
I think it's possible. There are certainly a lot of issues that are going to continue to be funded regardless of what Congress does with the concurrent resolution package. And that is where Congress is trying to use that concurrent resolution package to weigh in with the administration. So I think you've seen some discomfort from leaders like Senator Joe Manchin around implementation of the hydrogen production tax credit. Again, this was something that included in the Inflation Reduction Act. So again, even on the Democratic side, pressure on the administration for that, making sure that they're implementing this in a way that gets the most economic punch right now in election year. And so a lot of these things like manufacturing incentive and energy production tax credits, formula funded infrastructure projects, these are going to continue to be funded over the next few years. But Congress is right now trying to debate and influence, the spending in the year ahead. So I think a lot of these programs will continue to be implemented this year, and it's going to be a big focus of the administration. And Congress is going to try to use that concurrent resolution and appropriations process to put some pressure on them where they can and influence implementation. But ultimately, it's going to be a very busy year for the administration just on this really phenomenally productive 2022 legislative year.
Right. One of those things, one of those landmark acts that had a lot of impact on engineering was the CHIPS and Science Act. But, and again, I'm not the expert on policy here, but my understanding is that that needs to still have its funding authorized to, so that it's not just a set of great words on paper, but it's actually a program that can make a difference. Is some of these budget negotiations going to affect that?
Really, exactly. So the CHIPS and Science Act, a lot of what was actually funded with the $52 billion in real funding that was included in the package when it was initially passed back in 2022, those were those manufacturing incentive tax credits to get, and we have seen a dramatic response. In fact, some of our allies around the world are uncomfortable with the level of tax incentives we provided.
Industrial policy, I think, is what they call
Yeah, this
it.
is the first time Congress has really returned to industrial policy in a substantive way in quite a while. And the manufacturing investment response has been really significant. But what the CHIPS and Science Act did not do, it didn't provide emergency funding for U.S. research agency accounts. So those formula funded competitive research grants, those are still going to be funded through the annual appropriations process in Congress, and that is what is really currently being played out. Now, I think the Chips and Science Act of 2022 was a bipartisan package. It got through the Senate with over, I think, 11 Republicans voted for it in the Senate. So, there is consensus that the United States ought to be spending more money on research and investment, investing in our STEM workforce. We're obviously going to have to grow our STEM workforce substantially to meet all of the new high-tech manufacturing investment that's been incentivized by the CHIPS and Science Act. So I think there is bipartisan recognition that, more funding for agencies like NIST, the National Science Foundation, even NASA authorization was included in this CHIPS and Science Act package. There's going to be a lot of exciting activity from NASA in the year ahead. But Congress does need to back up these authorized activities for many of these research agencies with through the annual appropriations process. So that's why there's so much focus on, right now, these January and February 2nd dates, because that will really dictate how much agencies can fund, a lot of these programs in the year ahead. And agencies are also dealing with the impact of inflation. The president just authorized an executive order for, I think, a 5.2% budget increase for federal employees. That is more than was budgeted for, a year ago. We didn't know how dramatic the impact of inflation would be. So that's another, budgetary pressure that Congress is trying to deal with, agencies are trying to deal with. And it'll be very interesting to see where we end up.
So with all this conflict between, Congress and the president and the Senate and the House, are there places where the two sides can, I mean, you mentioned the CHIPS and Science Act. I mean, are there other places where the two sides can come together and pass some substantive new policy? I guess nuclear. It sounds like nuclear policy is someplace where both, the Republicans and Democrats really feel like they've got a stake in that.
Yeah, I think broader, perming reform is going to continue to be a big focus for the Congress and trying to come to an agreement on a larger permitting reform package. So we, as we noted, we just
Right.
did, this nuclear piece of it. Not everything the nuclear sector is looking for, but a good deal of it in December. And there was also some things that were pulled out of the National Defense Authorization Act in order to keep broader permitting reform on the table. So one thing that did clear the Senate by unanimous consent was a piece of legislation to allow semiconductor investment, some of the chips related projects to move through environmental reviews more expediently than would otherwise be allowed. So this permitting reform issue was pulled out of the NDAA in order to keep broader permitting reform on the table. So you have, still a lot of objectives for, siting of high transmission lines, especially for renewable energy projects. There are a number of, pipeline regulatory issues to work through. The Mountain Valley Pipeline is a big one that Senator Manchin is following. So some of these broader, oil and gas operations on federal lands, of course, offshore issues. So a lot of these permitting reform issues, they're, both sides care about them and are going to remain part of the negotiations throughout the year. And I think, just like we saw in December with this must-pass bill, we were able to come to an agreement on nuclear. Hopefully this year, a broader permitting reform package can happen. Because again, with this, the 2021 Infrastructure Act, those projects are still being rolled out. There were 5 years of funding included in that 2022 bill. So, there's still a lot of opportunity for infrastructure development if they can get through these permitting issues.
So, I mean, it strikes me that when people say let's, or when politicians stand up and say let's build more infrastructure, people like cheer, but it's really incumbent on getting this regulatory permitting reform through, and nobody cheers for that. But that's, I mean, from what you're saying, that's actually the most critical piece of the puzzle.
Yeah, it is a real focus of, if you tune in to what the committees are working on in Congress, you'll see that they're actually conducting a lot of hearings on this, and there is a lot of work in Congress happening behind the scenes to try to drive forward progress on some of these issues.
Okay. Now, not everything in Congress revolves around, or not, Not everything in Washington revolves around Congress, I guess I should say. So, what's the executive branch doing this year in regards to engineering policy? I mean, and what are they focusing on other than the election, I suppose?
Yeah, so we've talked a little bit about Inflation Reduction Act, CHIPS and Science Act, Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act. A lot of those bills included multiple years of funding and program authorizations that we're going to see the administration rolling those out. So things that you probably haven't heard as much about that you're going to hear more about this year are things like the administration last year just kicked off its Hydrogen Hubs program that was created by the Inflation Reduction Act. It was a $9 billion in research for it's going to be over 10 regional hydrogen hubs, I believe is what they're at right now. So there are other projects like this, like the NSF has a regional innovation engines program. So similar and for on the Department of in Commerce and the National Institute of Science and Technology, they have their own Manufacturing USA institutes that were authorized in the CHIPS and Science Act. So a lot of these regional research institutes, energy production projects, those are going to be a big focus of the administration this year, especially when you have a huge footprint. It's always great for your election campaign if you can be touring around the country and talking about how you're putting boots on the ground and dollars into infrastructure projects. So I think you're going to see a big focus on making sure that they're implementing everything they can this year.
ASME has a role in all this. I mean, for years, ASME has been down in Washington, putting engineers in Congress in the executive branch to help provide much needed expertise, right?
Right. Actually, last year, 2023, we celebrated the 50th anniversary of ASME's federal fellowship program. And right now, for our listeners, we do have two opportunities open, one at the White House Office of Science and Technology Policy, and one at the Department of State. So these are our two executive branch federal fellowships we're going to be offering this year. Applications are open through January 31st. So I encourage everyone to apply, especially ASME members, 5 years of professional experience, an advanced engineering degree, an interest in public policy. We strongly encourage our members to apply. It's a great opportunity to spend a year on the Hill. Working actually on some, you'll get to work on things like implementation of the CHIPS and Science Act, Inflation Reduction Act issues, the energy permitting reform debate in Congress. We also have two congressional fellowships we're competing for this year as well. So again, great opportunity for ASME's membership. And to follow all of these developments, I'd also encourage people to sign up for our Capital Update newsletter. We're actually going through a nice update of that newsletter right now. And we're going to be rebranding it this year as our Policy Impact newsletter.
Okay.
So current subscribers will remain subscribed. But I encourage everyone to, if you want to stay up to date on engineering policy, subscribe to our ASME Government Relations newsletter.
Yeah, very good. And just to follow up on the federal fellows thing, I know from talking to people who've been in that program, it was kind of a life-changing experience for them. I mean, they really came out. There's so much cynicism from the media and from the outside about Washington, but the engineers I've spoken to who were in the federal fellowship program come out just inspired by what they were able to accomplish.
It's really been an amazing program. Like I said, we're celebrating 50 years. We have an alumni community, I think, of over 140 engineers, ASME members who have been through the program now. Yeah, phenomenal opportunity. And many of them do remain in the Washington area. They remain active in engineering policy because, yeah, you can have a real national impact.
Okay. Well, on that really upbeat note, we have to leave it here. Paul Fakes, thank you for coming in today to share your expertise and keen insights on the goings on in Washington today.
Thank you, Jeff. It's a pleasure being with you.
Yeah, it's going to be a consequential year. And for all those of you out in podcast land, thank you for listening in, and be sure to subscribe to ASME TechCast on Spotify, iTunes, SoundCloud, and whatever podcast platform you prefer. Until next time, this is Jeffrey Winters. Have a great rest of your day. Thanks.